Let's go to, just for a brief look at something.
You're upsetting the balance of the world here.
There's greater balance in the room.
By whose definition?
I better turn this on. I did turn it on. Go to Revelation chapter 6. There's a, we talked about this a lot in, on Wednesday night, but let's go there for this. So go to verse 15. When the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? This has bothered me since I first knew this scripture existed. What would keep all these, the kings, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, what would keep them, or what would cause them to pray for the mountains to fall upon them instead of repenting? It says something. I'm not too sure what. It just doesn't make any sense. Why would you pray for the, you knew it was the wrath of the Lamb. Why not repent? Anybody have any ideas? Instead of repenting, they prayed for the mountains to fall on them.
I have two thoughts. One, God is the one who grants them repentance, and when you're a king, you don't want to lose your life. You think your life is all there is. And so there's no, I don't think you open.
Well, God, obviously, God it says that he wishes that all would repent. So it's not God that gives us the repentance.
It says that, though. That God,
where does it say that? Here it says that he wishes that, it says many times, he wished that all would repent. So if he wishes that all would repent.
I'm just responding to this today. I think kings and great men think so much of themselves that they don't ever even open the door to allow the Spirit of God to move on so that they can repent. That's what I think.
Well, anyway, it's just something for me. I'm still amazed.
Yeah, it is pretty astounding that you'd rather the mountain fall on you.
Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We're still... Hopefully this week we'll get done with, if I can make it a few days, we'll be done with exchanging God.
Well, yeah, I think it's Revelation 6, the last line. He says that even these men of great faith, these prophets, they even had moments of doubt.
Where are you?
Well, we just read Revelation 6:17, for the great day of his wrath has come. You shall be able to see him. Maybe even these prophets, these devout men of God, maybe they even had their moments of doubt. Maybe that's why I said it.
Where does it say that? I don't understand.
Revelation 6:17. We just read it.
For the great day of the wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
Right. You're saying, why did he say that instead of repent?
That's no, I'm saying, why do we pray for the mountains to fall on them?
All right.
Rather than repent.
Whatever.
I don't understand. I'm not trying to be difficult.
I don't think I understand either. So we'll move on.
All right. Colossians 1, let's start in verse 20. Well, let's get this who he is, you know, straight. Who the God we should be worshiping.
Colossians 1:20?
No, but we're going to start a little earlier. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated or transfigured us from the kingdom into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. There can't be anything, there was nothing left out. By him even all things consist or exist. Well, let's go on. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So it says we were enemies in mind, in our mind. And why were we enemies in our mind? Because of the fall. I can't get over this. Praying for the mountain to fall upon them instead of repenting.
Even if the mountains fell on them, they're not going to escape the wrath. So I don't understand that either. You can't. Even if you die, you're still screwed. You are.
Well, if you die before you repented.
I know. So, I mean, in their situation, that's not going to do anything. So maybe they don't really have faith.
Well, I mean, I still think it was I can't even believe that I ever repented. I didn't even believe in God.
But at least you're a blessed guy.
What?
You're a blessed guy.
You're a blessed guy. You're blessed.
You didn't even have to thought about it. You're a blessed guy.
Well, that brings us to the whole idea of the elect. Who are the elect? Does that mean that everything is, it's a whole bunch of people are born without any hope because they're not the elect?
I don't believe there's any elect. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong. But how do you become the elect?
it died.
Well, if you, this is a whole other world, but you become the elect because the elect have declared by proclamation that somebody else is the elect. That's the power that you have as a believer. That's what a believer does.
Again, a believer,
right?
That
you,
person is a
so you help you define by your obedience who's the elect, and some pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We're going to study this after this, but. What the power of proclamation is, and proclamation is a whole new thing that I certainly hadn't ever studied it until recently. But the point of it is, just think about it. And some have compassion, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Anybody remember where that is?
James?
It's one of the J guys, James or John or...
Okay, just before we go there, this is where we take proclamation in 21 where we finished, I believe. And you have sometimes alienated enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now hath he reconciled.
Right.
That's a proclamation, isn't it?
No, that's God's... That's God, but how did they get reconciled? Somebody had to speak to them. And so
to confirm what God has already done.
Well,
he did the reconciliation.
But well, let's not go there now, okay? We'll wait till we get to this idea of proclamation. But go to...
I was wrong. I don't think it's in.
I still don't understand the elect. So would the elect be the, what you call, disciples, true disciples?
No, the elect are those who are going to heaven instead of hell.
Kind of like,
all right, it's in Jude. Verse 17. But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's the idea that you have the compassion for those in your world, and you pull them out of the fire. How do you pull them out of the fire? Another save with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So the point of this is that you have a role in making, in assisting or proclaiming those who are lost. I mean, this is why, this is the only reason I preach. This is why I'm alive. So you have a hand in, or an extremely important role. And it's the same. Well, let's look at this thing again that we looked at. Go to Ezekiel 3. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. Now, this is to you and I. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand, at your hand. That doesn't get any stronger. And yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You've done your responsibility, but your responsibility is a watchman. And it's a watchman to those in your world. In verse 20, let's continue on. And again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness will he hath, and the righteousness he hath done will not be remembered. But his blood will I require of thine hand. I mean, these aren't light words. If you don't help others exchange gods, then it's on your head. Does anybody believe that? This doesn't mean go where, you know, go around downtown carrying a sign, but it means those in your world. I mean, there must be some response. We've done this many times. We've talked about it. Is there some place where you think you're justified in not doing that?
Well, what are the limits of your world? Is it your Seder group? Is it your...
Well, it's not...
Man?
Well, it's your Seder group for the second part. When it says, if the righteous man fall... and you warn him not, then the blood's on your hand. But if the other part is that whoever's in your world, whoever you know, whoever you see. Unless you can say, you know, you're saying, maybe, well, I'm not a watchman. No, you can't get by with that. This again, this thing about you have a definitive hand in assisting others to exchange God, to exchange gods, to get them out of the God of worshiping the God of this world and the entire value systems of this world to the God of eternity. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to have somebody say something. And what caused the repentance in me was a silly statement that wasn't silly, that Norman Grubb said. One phrase that he said, God can't use you until you fail. And I have no idea why that struck me like it did. Well, I do too know why, because there wasn't anything left in the world that I thought was that worthwhile. But if Norman Grubb hadn't said that, would I have come to the some other, what I've come about it some other way? I don't know. But I know that he was the watchman that pulled me out of the fire. He didn't even know it, probably. But you, there has to be zeal here. It's not, this isn't a game of philosophies. There's either truth or there's not truth. Well, I don't want to talk anymore this morning. I want to get these hernias fixed.
Today?
I don't know. Take it, big guy.